Hey, welcome back to The Sound Table. I'm your host, Austin, and I'm joined by our co-host, Miranda.
Hello.
And today we are back to talk a little bit about the kind of lost art form of artist branding, and specifically, I think, to talk about like how music videos used to look and how album art used to look and kind of how all of that has gotten a little bit watered down because I think there's just so much to compete with now and people have to worry more about social media. And we'll probably throw on some nostalgia goggles for this episode. And
yes.
We might sound like the old people that are like, oh, what about those times? But I think that there is like a lot to take from things that used to happen that don't happen anymore, at least that I personally want to see. Like, they might not be the most strategic, you know, content pieces, but they're just things that I miss. So
now we're going to be the people that we were talking shit about in the last episode.
Literally.
Well, Full circle.
With that said, I don't think that there is like a right and a wrong way to do it.
Yeah.
The industry is obviously just at like a much different place now where there's hundreds of thousands of songs coming out every day on Spotify and, you know, hundreds of thousands of TikToks and reels being uploaded of people promoting their music. And it's not, you know, it's not, I have a major label and we're going to try to get my one big music video on MTV to go on that rotation. And that's how we reach everybody. So I understand that times have changed before you come into the comments and like crucify us on that. But I think that we will just kind of like kick off the topic with probably like the main thing that I see now, and that's just like music videos don't really exist. Good music videos, at least. Yeah. Even the biggest artists with the biggest budgets.
Yeah. Which really sucks because that was like the best part of music when I was a kid. I loved music videos and I still love music videos. So then when artists do them that are very like simple, okay, boring, that is always super disappointing to me. So we're going to start it out by complaining. Everyone's favorite.
I think that this all stemmed, there's been a million of them. So like not specific shots fired at Billie Eilish, but her big anticipated single Lunch.
Which was, is so good, by the way.
It's a great song. It's probably going to be the hit off of the album. And like a music video dropped, or maybe they called it a visualizer, but I'm pretty sure they called it the music video.
A music video.
And it is just Billie dancing in front of a white psych wall with like a bunch of Y2K outfits on.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, anybody could have shot this with $200 on two hours on a Saturday.
They just uploaded, I think the other day, a behind the scenes of that. I'm like,
of what?
That's what I was thinking. I was like, what is the behind the scenes? You changed in a bunch of cool outfits in front of a white wall and like they had funky camera angles. But
you
like,
play the song 12 times, put on a different outfit each time and splice them all together.
Yeah. But I was disappointed because that song is so cool. And I just thought that is going to be such a cool chance to be able to do something unique.
Right.
And then it wasn't. It was kind of disappointing. And I feel like her music videos are like that sometimes. Like even with the
like the Bad Guy video where she just like burst through the yellow wall.
Yeah. And then the Barbie one, which I actually did like the Barbie one. I thought that one was really good. But I feel like she likes music videos like that where it's very simple and like basically, I mean, not technically one shot. There's not only one shot in Lunch. There's a bunch of different outfits, but it's all the same concept.
Right. There's like, one scene.
Yes. And in like the Barbie one, it's just her sitting at the table trying on the different, looking through the different Barbie clothes, which I actually do like that music video.
But that could have been a visualizer. That's not a music video.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Calling them music videos to me is a bit of a stretch, but that, again, that could be because we're like of the MTV days where it was like, that was literally the only thing that played on that channel.
Like Toxic
was music
by Britney
videos.
Spears has like a private plane.
Yes. You like
where
run
they've like CGI'd
home.
Everything.
You run home after school to like see your music video that you want to see.
Yeah.
And hope that you will just keep watching the channel to hope that the song that you want to hear comes on.
Yeah, I do kind of miss that. Like I understand that now music videos are wildly expensive. Like
A
cheap video is for like a DIY artist, anywhere between $5,000 and $10,000. A cheap video for like a label artist is like $30,000 to $60,000.
Yeah.
And then really expensive videos get to be like $100,000 to up to $1 million.
But they're not paying for it. The labels are. So.
But what I'm saying is I think that there's just like a lot of artists who are like, well, I could use that money for anything else. Because like,
yeah,
that's a lot of budget to put into a video that'll go on YouTube that might get 400,000 views when I could do 3 TikToks that'll each get 1 million views of me dancing in a parking lot.
Yeah.
And like, I think that we've almost gotten to this point where like everything needs to be like the highest return on investment. And I understand that music videos aren't always that, especially in this day and age where there's not like an MTV or VH1 or a Fuse or like a TRL Countdown there's not really a reward for having like a really, really amazing video unless you just happen to fucking strike gold and go viral.
The VMAs?
Yeah, fair.
Hello? Fair.
Beyonce had the best music video of all time.
Do you want to win a VMA or not?
But I think I understand the argument coming from labels and coming from artists where they're like, yeah, it's just a lot of effort and a lot of money when we could just piece together 20 TikToks.
Yeah, I guess. But at the same time, you can use the clips from the music video to make TikToks.
Yeah.
So like that, I don't understand. And I always am curious. I'm like, is it the artist or is it the label? Because if you look at artists like Lil Nas X, that man puts out a music video.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely love his music
Montero,
videos.
Montero, crazy. Industry Baby, crazy.
Yeah.
What else did he do for that album? He did one more for that album, I think. It was insane.
I don't remember off my head. Even Ariana Grande normally does really good music videos. And I actually did like her We Can't Be Friends music video.
That one was cool.
That was cool. It was heavily inspired by Spotless.
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless
yes,
Mind.
Yes, I almost call it Spotless Sunshine.
Spotless Sunshine.
Spotless Sunshine. Yes, it was heavily inspired, obviously, by that movie. But I still think it was really good, and I liked it a lot. I thought that was cool. And that one was something that was, like, more simple in terms of, like, Ariana Grande music videos. Like, it's not a simple music video by any means, obviously. Yeah. But, you know, it's not like...
I mean, that music video still costs hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Oh, I know. But, like, it's not like... Thank You Next or Seven Rings, where it's like all these outfits, the dancers, the choreography.
Yeah, or like Dangerous Woman or not Dangerous Woman, but No Tears Left to Cry.
Yeah. Where it's like a bunch of different scenes that are like outlandish.
CGI everywhere.
Yeah, that one looked more like a movie that was in a music video form, which I know is so ridiculously expensive to shoot. But it was, you know, more simple-ish for her.
I think why I like that video, though, is because like, now when I hear the song, I see the video in
my
head. And I feel like the video made the song better and the song made the video better.
Yes.
And I feel like that's something that so many people don't think about with music videos now is they're just like, oh, if I can just get like a performance of like me in a room or whatever, like that'll work because I can clip that for TikTok and put my lyrics up there. And like, I get that. But some of my favorite videos that I ever think about are ones that when I hear the song 20 years later, mm-hmm. I still see that music video.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can still see NSYNC and they're like Barbie-esque mm-hmm. Ken boxes getting out and like dancing on strings to promote No Strings Attached, the album. Like that to me is when a music video becomes art and marketing, where I feel like a lot of music videos now are just for marketing.
Yeah.
And if it's just for art, it might be a huge cash sink and not really pay off. But I do feel like there's a way to do both that is very rarely done now. I think probably one of the better simple videos that I've seen in a really long time was One of Your Girls by Troye Sivan.
Oh, yeah. That was good.
They had Ross Lynch for the video, and then Troye Sivan is like in drag.
Yes.
And like, it's so simple.
He's
it's still
beautiful.
Done in front of a white psych wall. Like, there's mm-hmm. nothing that insane production-wise happening. But just fitting the lyrics and having Troye dress up in drag and do that, I think really does highlight an element of the song that people might glance by if they just listen to it. And to me, that's what a music video should do.
Yes.
And that's what I think most don't do now.
Yeah.
What are your favorite videos, though? Like, if you were to think, like, that's a great use of a video, what are
like
you thinking?
Recent or just in general?
In general, like for whenever.
I do really like the Montero one. I do see that music video in my head. I'm going down that ridiculous stripper pole all the way to hell. I do see that when I listen to that song. Of all time, of course, Toxic by Britney Spears.
Classic.
Crazy. Classic music video.
Dirty by Christina Aguilera.
Yes. That one's really good. Like every little boy's sexual ways or little girl's sexual awakening, depending on where you swing.
Fair enough.
But I don't know. I'm trying to think. Do you have any while I'm thinking?
Probably those. I do like even thinking of like more simple things. Like I think of like the Fat Lip video for Sum 41 or like Skater Boy by Avril Lavigne, or like those are still pretty simple.
Skater Boy,
you know, have a band inside of an emptied out pool mm-hmm. / bowl for
classic.
Skateboarding. But like it fits the vibe of those songs because those songs feel like they would be played at a party in a hollowed out pool
mm-hmm.
with 100 grungy teenagers just partying. And like, that makes sense to me. I don't necessarily think that that's a bad video because it sets a scene where like, I don't know, somebody just walking down a road singing their song doesn't really do anything for me, unless that does pertain to the song. I think that there's a lot of videos that do a lot to just to try to like surprise people. And I think that sometimes like a really well-crafted video is a good marketing push because it can bring an audience. Like, look at that guy, Oliver Tree. Do you know who that is? He's got the bowl haircut, always wears like the, well, not anymore, but this is like his brand when he was popping off. Yeah, bowl haircut, always wearing like a neon 90s windbreaker. And his videos were fucking bananas.
Oh yeah, I would watch them and I don't even care. I didn't care for his music, but I would watch his music videos.
To the point where they were going mega, mega viral.
Yeah, we just watched the Camila Cabello one with Lil Nas X because we were like, what is this song? I don't know, but I like Lil Nas X and I want to see his music video. And that, it was like, okay.
It's fine.
Yeah.
It was about as whatever as a music video can be.
Yeah, but it's, no offense to Camila Cabello, but not a huge fan.
Talk your shit.
Sorry, girl.
Damn. Catching straight. Fuck. I think another good example of a video that is on the more simple side is the video from Half Alive. The big one that went viral that like really got them to blow up. I can't remember what exact song it is, but yeah, the video went super viral because they had it all choreographed. Like the whole thing is just super, super, super choreographed. The singer and the band and a couple dancers are like singing throughout the big warehouse that we've all seen from Unbox Theory Now that has a whole like skylight LED panel.
Still feel?
Yeah, still feel.
Okay, yeah.
But that's a great example of a video that didn't have to have like a massive story, didn't have like an insane storyboard, doesn't have a million different shots, doesn't have a million different scenes and scenarios and settings, but it's very effective because they did something that nobody's really doing right now. Like, I don't see very many videos that are, I see there's a lot of choreography. Like you go watch a Tate McRae video and like, it's really obviously choreographed.
Her video. Yeah. Hers are simple, but her choreography is really good because she's a dancer.
Right. But I think the Half Alive one went the extra mile because like the whole video is like that. Yes. Like literally every really step cool. in the video is choreographed. And like, I guess this is a good segue to talk about the industry that I think is still doing fucking insane music videos. And that's like K-pop.
Oh, like, yeah. K-pop is a whole nother. But that's my thing. Okay, so like Half Alive though, they're a smaller band and they're creating these incredible music videos that are obviously expensive. So why are huge artists not doing the same thing?
Well, I think they're assigned, and now that they had that one that did really well, I'm sure they get a good budget to do music videos because people
that
know
still
that
still feels from 5 years ago though.
I know, but people found them through that. So now their label can't really turn around and say, we're not going to fund your music videos, when they can say like, well, most of our people are here because they find music videos.
Yeah. But are you telling me that like Billie Eilish wouldn't get a lot of views on a music video?
Yeah, but she'll get a lot of streams anyway. So I don't think the label cares.
Yeah, I guess.
But like, yeah, I just feel like it's kind of like a dying art. Like, I can't really remember the last art, like when Lady Gaga popped off in like 2009.
I was literally, not kidding you, just thinking Bad Romance by Lady Gaga. That's a good
ass
music video.
Just a string of like 8 absolutely fucking bananas videos back to back.
So good. Telephone to Beyonce, that music video is so good.
Poker Face,
Where's
Alejandro.
Where's the To Be Continued like, though? I need it.
Yeah, there was a rumor that that was coming.
It's at the end of the video, it says To Be Continued. And it's like, okay, well, it's been like
10 years, 15 years.
Where is it? We need it.
I wouldn't hold your breath.
I'm not going to.
But I do think that, I don't know, I guess I just selfishly miss like the nostalgia of turning on MTV and kind of getting your 30 songs that they're going to play in rotation and being like, that's a really cool music video.
I love
like, I don't know, that's boring.
Video.
Like, yeah, I just kind of miss, I think it's not just videos, but it's like, I kind of miss the artist branding and packaging of like everything as one cohesive unit. Like you have the music, you have the music videos, you have the outfits that the artist wears, you have the album art, you have the promo materials, you have the weird promotional stuff. Like fucking artists used to do like collaborations with McDonald's and Burger King and shit to roll out albums. And I understand that now there's just like too much music for people to be like bidding on who's going to do the McDonald's Happy Meal toy. But at the same time, like I do kind of miss that because I feel like there used to be a lot of attention put into a lot of stuff outside of just the music.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like every few years there's advancements that kind of make it less and less and less effort. Like I think about album art, and I know that even, you know, in the 90s and 2000s, there's like a bunch of boring album art, but I think it's happening even more now than ever where people aren't even paying designers to do it. They're just kind of doing AI, and they're just kind of saying, like, make me art that feels like blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, don't do that.
And I'm seeing so much art that I'm just like, that tells me nothing about the song. Number one, it's not well done. Like, it looks AI. It looks terrible.
It never is well done.
And 90% of people can tell that it's AI and will be off put and won't listen to it.
Yeah.
But number two, like, it's not telling me anything about the song at all. Like,
yeah.
If you're going to do that, just have a picture of the artist with, like, the fucking song title on there. Yeah. Or just have a picture of whatever the song's about and just have a song title on there. Because if you're not going to put in effort, then at least just make it simple and, like, decently well done.
Right.
You can do that for $50 with a graphic designer.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just like,
you could try to do it yourself for
literally. You go on Canva.
Yeah, really. Yeah, really.
And I'm just, yeah, I just think that, like, we're probably going to start seeing it in music videos. Number one, AI is like a whole topic that is like, I don't even want to get into on this specific podcast, but I'm not a fan of, like, AI produced art as a whole. I think AI can be a great tool and there can be things that can help artists utilize it.
Yes.
I don't think that we should ever have commercial use for somebody just typing in,
mm-mm,
make me AI where a white guy with blonde hair is standing in a field of daisies looking at a sky that's exploding with suns.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, honestly, that's just a bad idea in general that shouldn't be executed at all. And number two, it's just never, ever well done. It's never, ever. It's just, it's like a weird, uncanny feeling when I see AI art. Mm-hmm. I'm like, there's no way that that's real.
I feel like people, when AI first became, like, really popular, like, a year or so ago.
Yeah.
It was really exploding. People were so scared that it was going to, like, take away jobs from artists and whatever. And I don't think that's really happened. Because I feel like if you're somebody who's going to use AI artwork, you probably were never somebody who was going to hire an actual graphic designer.
Right.
Or if you were, you were going to try to pay them like $50 to create artwork that you should have paid them
$500
for. So I, like, highly doubt the people who are using it are taking away from the actual art form.
They were never taking it seriously to begin with.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I just think we have all realized the cold. I think, like, AI art feels really cold to me. You know what I mean? Like, you can just tell it was not made by a person. Like, I've seen some AI art that I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool, but I'm never like, whoa, like, blown away. It's like, yeah, that's really cool, but
yeah, it just feels kind of lazy. And, like, I don't know,
again, lazy.
I just kind of miss everything being like a thought out package to, like, roll out an album or roll out a song. Like,
yeah,
I just miss when you would have an artist and their album art looked like they're out, like, the album that you hear, and the music videos looked like the songs that you hear, and the outfits that they wore felt like the music that they play.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I just think it took attention and detail. And I still think there's a lot of people doing it well. Like, there's a lot of people releasing great album art and great music videos and great content that maybe not even has to be like a crazy music video. But I do just kind of miss, like, the big budget, absolutely bananas music videos that we used to get.
Well, like you're saying, we just got to hang on to K-pop because they're still doing it.
Yeah, their videos are insane.
And I don't think they'll ever stop. I think that is some, that's just, like, ingrained within the culture of K-pop, is to do these, like, crazy music videos.
Yeah.
Those music videos are so good, though. The outfits, the dancing, the choreo, the background. Like,
they're so good. There's normally, like, in an average K-pop video, I swear to God, like, 8 different sets that they've built.
Yes.
Each one has a different outfit. They'll do the choreography at each one, so there's, like, match cuts for every single fucking set that they have.
It's so,
like,
good.
It is crazy. The effects are so crazy. Like, it feels like you're watching a Marvel movie.
It really does. It's nuts.
It is super, super, super high production.
Yeah, see, like, they don't need to be that crazy, those music videos. Just, like,
a little bit.
Give me a little something.
Put in a little effort.
Yeah, just give me a little. Just keep me on my toes.
I've done a music
video.
There are tons of work.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, but you're not. If you were a label with billions of dollars,
right,
it'd be a little bit easier to do a music video.
But even when I did a video 5 years ago, I was like, I don't want to do a music video if it's just going to be me, like, singing in a room. So, like,
mm-hmm,
we storyboarded a whole story that goes with the song. We had, like, we hired friends to, like, act in it. We, like, rented out this big warehouse as, like, a set. We, like, rented out a private gas station that we could rob, like, we put a lot of effort in, so it wouldn't just be like, oh, it's Austin standing in a big room,
right,
singing. And, like, yeah, it probably tripled the budget of that video and cost us a lot more time to plan. But, like, I like how the video came out because it matched the song to me, where like mm-hmm. it could have been half the budget, half the time, and probably could have got the same amount of views. Mm-hmm. I just wouldn't have felt as good about it, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, definitely.
But other than that, we've kind of touched on like artist branding in terms of like visuals that go with the music. One thing that we've thought about kind of chatting about on this podcast that's just never kind of naturally appeared in another episode is like artist rebranding.
Mm.
I think that when JoJo Siwa was popping off like a month or two ago.
Queen of rebranding.
Oh my God, dude. We were like, oh, do we talk about that? And then everybody and their mom talked about that specifically. Yes, so we didn't.
So we just left it.
But I do think that the topic of artist rebranding is fun to chat about.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes with kind of like the timestamp of an artist leaves a certain label and joins another one, or an artist, you know, signs a new contract, or an artist reaches legal age of 18. Yeah. Like,
or their Disney contract is up.
Yeah. Yeah. The Disney to tortured artist pipeline is crazy.
Yeah. Well, JoJo thinks she's the first one to do it, but she's actually not.
The inventor of gay pop.
Oh, yes. Excuse me. The inventor of gay pop. First one to ever do a crazy rebrand like this.
Dreamgasm, my boy. But yeah, when that all happened, we were like, oh, we should talk about artist rebranding. Like, what some of the successful versions versus some of the not successful versions have been.
Yeah. Even someone like Miley Cyrus, who did that, who went from like, oh, everyone knew her as this sweet little innocent Disney Channel girl. And then she was like, no, I'm like tired of being looked at as a child. And she went a little crazy.
Went extreme.
Yeah. She was like smoking weed and like on the internet and like maybe doing other drugs on the internet and talking about it. I remember there's a video of her like driving a car talking about Hannah Montana doing something, but I don't know if she said cocaine or marijuana, so I'm not going to speculate. But yeah, she was like wearing provocative outfits, twerking on Robin Thicke. It was like...
Did that song with Mike Will Made It.
Oh, yeah.
23 J's on my feet.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Oh, yeah. So, and then, but look at her now. So it's like she, you know...
She's rebranded from that, though. I think that's a perfect example of like an artist doing a bad rebranding.
I don't even know if hers... The first time was a rebranding. I think that was her being in the shackles of Disney and then her becoming an adult, and like being like a child actor seems very difficult, and like the mental torture that you go through, really, it really has an effect on them, obviously. So I think she just went through that typical like Disney star thing of everything she suffered as a teen, and then she was finally an adult. She could do whatever she wanted, and she went balls to the wall with it because she finally had freedom and money. And
she's like, I need people to know that I cuss and I drink and I smoke and I fuck.
Yeah,
like,
it was
people
like,
I have to know this.
Ariana Grande, when she went a little weird and was like licking donuts and donut shops and doing all kinds of like all the Disney stars.
And then into like Dangerous Woman, where she was like wearing like latex leather like outfits all over the place.
Yeah, they always try to be like, I'm sexy, I'm not cute. And it's like, yeah, I get why they do that. But
and it's part of them trying to like take back, especially with women, like take back like their femininity and like they're an adult who can make their own choices about their body. And like, I understand that. I think that Miley Cyrus's pivot from crazy white girl twerking at the VMAs to kind of like hippie, spacey white girl that she is now is crazy.
Yeah.
It is wild to think that like
to me,
the same person
sense,
that released
though.
Flowers released J's on My Feet.
Yeah, it does kind of make sense though if you think about it. She's just older now. I think
That's just growing up.
I think we just witnessed her like teenage rebellion, but at a later age, because like when she was a teenager, she couldn't really be a teenager.
Yeah.
So I think we just watched like a teenage rebellion in real time, but as she was like an late teens, early 20s more of.
Yeah.
And then, because she's always felt like she's always been this like hippie.
Like eccentric.
Yeah, like little, because she still is eccentric and like.
Flower child kind of vibes.
Yeah, she's still like kind of the same. She's just like an adult now.
Yeah.
So, but yeah.
So would you call her series of rebrands successful?
No, because I think for a while there, she was very hated.
Yeah.
Like and she was not taken seriously for a long time.
Like that 2012 to 2015 span for her was rough.
Yes. And like everyone liked her song Wrecking Ball, but she definitely was made fun of. And like, which, you know, that's kind of the
part for the course.
Yeah. culture back then. It's not really, but that's kind of the culture now. I guess people are doing it with JoJo Siwa, making fun of her. So I think it's just kind of, that's part of the course, but
it happens with everybody. Like, I think everybody will overcorrect for, especially people who pop off as children, will overcorrect for the goody goody two shoes vibe that they may have had. Like, you look at Bieber, right? Who went from, like, doing Baby and doing the Christmas album to then all of a sudden the next year he's like driving a Lamborghini drunk through Miami and smoking so much weed on the airplane that they had to fucking ground it because the flight crew was getting high.
And didn't he like have a monkey or something?
Yeah,
like
I got a monkey taken at an airport. Yeah. Like, the thing is, I don't even know if those are technically rebrands as much as they are like,
I think they're mental breaks.
Yeah. Like, it would be hard to be in the public eye as a child and then grow up and people think that they have this image of you. And like, you kind of overcorrect for that. So, well, you do whatever you want. You have endless money, basically.
Yeah.
Endless power.
I do think that's what JoJo Siwa is doing. I think she is going from, okay, I'm known as this child, because she's 21 now. She just turned 21. So she's like known as this child for so long. And now she's like, in her mind, she's like, well, what is the opposite of that? And she just does what she thinks is the opposite. And she's trying to be taken seriously. I think she might be going about it the wrong way, but I also don't know if she has the right people around her to help guide her.
Right.
And like, be honest with her about what she's doing and how maybe to do this in a better way. You know who I just thought of, who I think actually has had a successful, like an actual rebrand, like legitimate by
the
definition?
Can we say it at the same time, see if it's the same person?
I guarantee you it's not.
Okay. On the count of three.
Okay.
One, two, three, Lady Olivia Gaga. Rodrigo. Oh.
See, I think Olivia Rodrigo is pretty much the same. I think hers is a natural progression.
Yeah, but I do think she did it in a way that feels a little bit more typical to what like the average person is used to. Like, I think
naturally,
her rebrand
you could
from
say?
Yeah, like
which
her,
is what I just said.
her rebrand from like Disney child star to kind of like older teens, very old early adulthood, like angsty, pissy. Makes sense.
Yes.
I think that she's done it gradually enough to where like Driver's License made sense and Deja Vu made sense and now All American Bitch makes sense.
Exactly.
Where it wasn't like, oh, she's in High School Musical, the series. Oh, she has a song called All American Bitch and she's like rubbing on herself on stage. That's weird.
Rubbing on herself is dramatic, but yeah. I mean, she grabs her boob. That's not rubbing on herself, but
fair.
People are very dramatic, so.
But yeah, okay. Anyway, let's hear your Lady Gaga example.
No, I was going to say Lady Gaga because she went from this like iconic pop star releasing these crazy music videos, wearing meat dresses. Like, she was just such like an eccentric artist.
Yeah.
And now she is like a serious actress in these like more serious roles.
Almost like a folk singer now.
Yes, like, and I just feel like she's had, but that is a good rebrand in my opinion because it's literally from one thing and to not an opposite, but you know, she just like kind of moved lanes a little bit.
To the point where, like, I think there were people that were wondering why she is still technically Lady Gaga instead of just, like, going by a different name. They're like, that is so weird.
Stephanie, right? That's her
actual name.
Yeah,
I think so. Some Italian last name. I can't remember. Yeah. But, like, yeah, if you were to look at, like, Poker Face and the artistry and imagery and brand around that, and then you look at, like, what she did with the movie with Bradley Cooper where she released that album, or, like, the song that she did for the Top Gun movie, you're like, what in the hell?
Yeah. Even that transition though was kind of natural because she went from artist to, I want to say the first thing she starred in was American Horror Story. I could be wrong about that, but that season that she starred in, it made so much sense that Lady Gaga was in it. Like when you heard that, you were like, yeah, that makes sense to me. And then, you know, her career progressed from there. But I'm trying to think of a more, that's like the only example I can think of right now that is like an older, not older, but you know, not a teenager artist doing a rebrand. Cause most of the time it's hard to know, like, are these people really doing rebrands or are they just going from teenage pop stars to angsty late teens, early 20s?
I got one that we can talk about that's a good case study on rebrands.
Oh, go ahead.
What about Post Malone?
Oh, yeah. See,
his rebrand right now, fucking insane, but I'm kind of for it.
But it's, again, it's like a very slow, progressive, natural rebrand because he went from hip hop and then he was like a little more poppy and then he was a little more folky poppy and then now he's just like folk and then he's going into country.
Yeah.
So it's like he's like made such a progression that it's made sense. Plus he's drank Bud Light from like the beginning of his career.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the perfect example of an artist who like has had a very specific sound. Like you look at White Iverson and Congratulations and all of like the Beer Bongs and Bentley album, all of the Stoney album. And that feels like a moment in time of where Post Malone was a hip hop artist. But even at that time, yeah, he was wearing designer clothes. Yeah, he was going to parties at nightclubs. But also, like, I don't think he ever tried to hide it that he's like a country Texas, like, wants to live out on 8 acres kind of backwoodsy guy. Like, that is just, he's a simple guy. That's the things that he likes. He's chain smoked and fucking drank Bud Light his entire career. Mm-hmm. Like, he's always been the kind of guy who, yeah, might wear like Louboutin, like pumps, but at the same time is also going to wear like a gigantic belt buckle because he wants to
pump.
Or I guess not pumps. I guess like the heeled boots.
I was like, pumps are like,
that'd be crazy. Post Malone and pumps.
And pumps, strength and
like,
stuff.
I think that that's a great version of an artist rebrand where like, when he released the country album, I saw some people that were like, oh my God, I never would have thought that. And I was like, are you serious?
No, yeah, it makes sense.
I was like, I'm surprised it's taken this long.
But I think it looks so natural because he did it like when he was older.
Yeah.
Like someone like JoJo Siwa, Miley Cyrus, even like, well, Selena Gomez is kind of different because she never really had like a huge rebellious phase, I feel like. I guess her rebellious phase would be like dating Justin Bieber, but they dated for like 10 years, so that doesn't really count either.
As child stars.
Exactly, like, and they were like children. But I'm trying to think of more like, I guess like Britney Spears. But again, like all these people, I feel like were going from this childhood where they were being controlled by adults, and then now they have all this money, fame, success, and they have the freedom to be a legal adult and do what they want. And you're just saying that. I feel like if you gave a lot of teenagers that amount of money, they would probably all act the same too.
Yeah.
Like all of us make irrational, stupid decisions when we're in our early 20s because you're in your early 20s.
Yeah.
Like late teens, early 20s. That's like the whole thing.
I mean, imagine if your whole life was in front of cameras on social media. You kind of had infinite money and power to do whatever you wanted with whenever you wanted to. Mm-hmm. Like,
I also don't think some of these people, I'm not going to name any names, I don't think their family or people that they're surrounded by have their best interests at
heart. Yeah, their support system is
taking their money.
Highly taking advantage of them.
100%. They just want money that their kids are making them. And it's super unethical, but it's true. And but a lot of the time, the kids don't realize that until maybe never, but hopefully when they're older, they'll realize it and kind of set some boundaries. But
do you have a favorite like rebranding that's not just like a mental break that's captured in the public eye?
I'm trying to think who are some more.
We had like Avril Lavigne go from like punky skater girl to doing her.
No, I loved her punky skater girl face.
Her like so. Harajuku, like Japanese inspired.
Not a fan of that. Ariana Grande is who I was thinking of. She was also a child star.
Yeah.
But hers is seems very natural.
Did she? Yeah, I don't even know if she ever had like a rebrand. Like I think she just an older version of what she's always done.
Yeah, she definitely didn't have a rebrand. Maybe I don't know if this counts as a rebrand, but maybe Lil Nas X, because technically when he released
that's a great idea. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He released that first song. It was obviously like a country song, and then he was like, "No, I'm a pop artist." And then he went into releasing all his poppy stuff and being like, and then he's like, "Oh, I'm actually gay," and then people hated him for that, which is insane. But I love that and now he's like super like openly and like proudly gay and like does whatever he wants, wear whatever he wants, super unapologetic for who he is, releases like cool music that he likes. Like, yeah. I really like that. I feel like he really like blossomed into this beautiful butterfly.
It was pretty wild to see somebody who went like the most mega viral you can ever go.
Yeah.
Off of something that had a very clearly defined aesthetic and sound and vibe and brand. And then literally just fucking abandon it. After one song that got billions of views and
it's
streams.
It's really
and
risky.
It is insane that label let him do that. Because he could have kept doing the, I'm basically just going to make a hip hop song that has country elements and wear a cowboy hat shtick.
Yeah.
And like it probably would have done
well.
Solid. But then you look at like he released that EP that had like Panini on it that did okay. And then he started working on that Montero album that is just so good.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like Montero came out and then Industry Baby came out. And then what's the other one off of that album? He did like Slime with Doja Cat on that album.
He did a lot, yeah. But like, I don't remember the other
None
single.
Of those have any of that country flair, country influence. Mm-hmm. He doesn't like wear the cowboy hat or the vest anymore. And that's such a funny, risky decision for somebody who literally blew up overnight based off of one specific thing that they did and one specific brand.
And he was super young making that decision too. Like yeah. 19 years old. Like that's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I think that that's a really great example of somebody who is like, just because I got popular off of one thing doesn't mean that I'm going to stick to that.
Right. I love that. What about you? Do you have a favorite rebrand? Yeah,
I do like the Lil Nas X rebrand. That was one that I meant to talk about earlier that is just so funny to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then outside of that, like, I'm trying to think.
It's I feel hard.
Like, yeah, I feel like so many artists that I listen to kind of do that thing where they have like cycles of vibes that they're in.
Well, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let me see though, because there's got to be one that is just like so crazy of a rebrand. I don't know. I'm having trouble.
Well, while you're thinking about it, I'll mention other notable mentions over here.
Perfect.
Honorable mentions, whatever they're called. Machine Gun Kelly. That was a good
crazy rebrand.
Rebrand. I don't know what he's up to now, but he went from a very average hip hop artist to like. Well, I don't know. A lot of people in the pop punk scene were kind of hating. We're not people like in the scene as in like the artists, like people who listen to the music. We're kind of hating a little bit, but like, let's be real. He did do pretty good pop punk music.
He definitely kind of revitalized it in like the public image. Like,
I don't like him that much either, but like, I think know, give the boys flowers.
His switch to pop punk allowed a resurgence in pop punk of a bunch of artists that are better.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But probably wouldn't have gotten the public eye had it not been for Machine Gun Kelly's very public transition into pop punk. Like, I think it did kind of inspire this whole big resurgence of like Tony Hawk Pro Skater esque music.
Yeah.
Which I love. Like, I love, love, love that kind of music. So I was actually pretty cool with the Machine Gun Kelly albums. I definitely didn't mind them. I like most of the Travis Barker produced pop punk stuff coming out from like Mod Sun, Avril Lavigne, MGK, like all of those artists. But it made me way more excited for like the underground artists, like Games We Play and like just people like that.
And what's that one guy with the, is it Jordan? No. What's the guy with the J?
Jaden.
Jaden, that's
yeah, Jaden's
yeah,
pretty good.
He's good.
Yeah, that's another, that is a funny ass rebranding though.
Yeah, it's so, that one seems very random.
He went from literally being in like diss wars with Eminem.
Yes.
To like, wearing the black t-shirts with the long white sleeve ruffle knit underneath and having like the spiky hair. And
that was crazy. I was like, this is out of left field.
Yeah, that one was crazy.
But it surprisingly was successful. And then of course we can't talk about rebrand and not talk about Taylor Swift, queen of rebrand.
Yeah, I mean, again, kind of a masterclass. And she was known as a country artist, released under country charts. And then I think Red was a good transitional album where it still feels country. It still feels Nashville poppy.
But she has like
but
the
she had
hits.
The big bangers for Max Martin. She had the 22 and the I Knew Your Trouble and the, you know, all of that kind of stuff. But then with, 1989, she like completely abandoned any of that country sound. She was like, hey, y'all like those three songs off of Red that were kind of like this? Here's a whole fucking album of them.
And
enjoy
that's her
it.
Like most successful album, commercially successful, I believe, album. Yeah.
And then Reputation got even deeper into pop.
Yeah, but that kind of was not so successful.
Yeah.
Not as successful as her others,
That
and
was
then she
a,
went like
kind
dark.
Of a rebranding. Like, she tried to go a little bit
she
darker.
She very rebranding, yeah.
She weren't into it.
Black and white everything and, like, hair slicked back in this, like, bad girl era.
Yeah.
Yeah, people didn't love that. And then she went to the opposite of that and went with Lover, which was, like, this, like, pink.
Bubbly, girly.
Yes, like, beautiful little album. And then Lover to Folklore. It was like folk music. And it's like, what the? She really goes like, woo, 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 woo. But I remember in, I think Miss Americana, she said, was it Miss Americana? I can't remember. She said something about reinventing herself every few years. Because she's like, that is the only way that I will stay relevant is if I have to reinvent my image, reinvent my sound every few years to keep people interested.
I do think that is important for an artist who wants to have
it's very smart
12 albums throughout their careers. Like, can't do the same one every time.
I know. I mean, that's why she's been popular for like 17 years now, so quite crazy.
I'm still trying to find a rebrand
that you like. It is hard. I'm trying to think of like older ones, like
obviously, like, there's David Bowie and like his character that he kind of rebranded as. And then he did like Pan's Labyrinth and kind of did all that. Like David Bowie definitely had eras.
Yes.
Bob Dylan definitely had eras. Like there's a lot of people that you could almost just call an era a rebrand, right? Like they changed their image, they changed their sound, they changed their clothes, they changed the people that they hang around. It's funny because like I feel like that's just the qualities of living a good life where you're always moving and being dynamic. But obviously when you're in the public eye, it's a rebrand, right? Because right. everything comes back to you selling yourself or selling your product or your music. I don't know. I think that there's probably more decently successful rebrands than bad rebrands.
Yeah.
I think that it is a little bit more rare that somebody completely like abandons their image and everybody's like, Jesus Christ, please go back.
Yeah. Except, who's that actor from the Goonies? Something.
Oh, Corey Feldman.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of trauma attached there though.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. A lot of these is like people going through traumatic stuff and then that ends up, it's like, I'm telling you, it's like we're seeing mental breaks.
Yeah,
and then
for sure.
They're like, quote unquote, rebrands. It's really terrible. But yeah, he was like super successful actor and then released an album that was
wild.
Not as liked by a lot of people.
Who's an artist that you kind of want to see a rebranding from?
An artist I want to see a rebranding from? I think Billie Eilish would be a cool rebrand. I think she's had the same, but not like a 180. It would just be interesting to see her do something different just because we've all, this is why artists rebrand though, right? It's because like we've seen them, we're like, oh, I've seen her do the same thing for so long.
We've heard Billy and Phineas make multiple albums that all have the ballads and they have the couple minimal pop hits and they're great.
Yeah. I'm curious like someone like Harry Styles.
I was curious about that too. He kind of did a mini rebrand because like he obviously was in One Direction, but then his first album was like a rock album.
Yeah.
It was like very much like 70s, like Led Zeppelin-esque kind of just like rock music.
Mm-hmm.
And then Fine Line was not at all.
Yeah. And then Harry's House is kind of similar to Fine Line. So I'm curious.
Kind of. It's a bit funkier.
Right. So I'm curious though with like a third album, I'm like, is he going to stay that route? Is he going to rebrand a little bit, do something a little bit different? Like, where is he going to go with it?
Yeah.
Especially because that like funky 70s, 60s aesthetic really like fits him, like clothing wise, branding wise, sound wise, it all works so well.
Right.
So I'm like, I'd be curious if that is something that he would switch. Not that I cared for him to switch it. I do like love that music from him. So I wouldn't mind another album, but I could see him being like, I'm getting kind of tired of that. I want to switch it up.
Right.
But would be curious to see.
Yeah, that'd be a good one.
What about you? Any artists?
I'm trying to think of like an artist that I really love, but I feel like they could definitely benefit from a kind of a new era.
Oh, how can we not talk about Beyonce? I just realized she went from Queen of Pop to country.
Yeah, she'll bounce between hop and hip hop for releases and then did the country album that was pretty cool. It still felt so grounded in pop that I don't.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I guess so. I guess it's still like a country release.
I think it fits her so naturally. And then I'm curious where her third, because it's like a three release album, and I'm curious where the third album is going to go.
Yeah. I know Dua Lipa just released a new album. I found it pretty similar to Future Nostalgia.
Right.
It didn't hit as hard as Future Nostalgia for me personally. I'd love to see her kind of try something a little bit different for the next one.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of rebrand, though, like I have a hard time picturing her doing like a big visual rebrand because she's Dua Lipa and everybody's happy looking at her just the way that she is. And she kind of sits on that line of like a pop star. Like she might wear one outfit one day and then another outfit one day and then a high fashion look the next day. And I don't know, her brand to me is so broad just with her being kind of a general pop star. Like
it is,
unless she was like, I'm doing a hip hop album. I'm like, what really is a rebrand for Dua Lipa?
Yeah.
Other than that, like one that I think would be kind of fun is to hear somebody like, I guess like Noah Kahan, do something like a little bit more rock based. That's like not so folky.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'd love to hear him kind of lean more into the kind of like Americana, kind of like Nashville rock.
Mm-hmm.
But I doubt that'll happen.
Hey, you never know.
And then other than that, I'm just trying to like think of artists that I listen to all the time. I would love to hear like somebody like Chase Atlantic swap into a different lane and try something. Cause like they've done their kind of like dark pop, you know, 8 of the songs are going to be kind of dark hip hop songs. And 2 or 3 of them are going to kind of be that like funky new wave esque, like almost like a really produced 1975 song. I would love to see them try to tackle something else. I'm not saying that they need to, but like, I just think it would be kind of a fun exercise.
Yeah.
Even like the 1975, like they've done a kind of a natural progression of their music. Like you look at their debut album and then you look at the last album that they just did. And like, it feels like a more mature version of kind of what they've always done. But I would love to hear them do something like way more experimental.
Mm-hmm.
Cause their brand has been pretty consistent now for a while. Like I've been seeing all of them in like black suits on stage now for a decade, I feel like.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be mad at like something a little bit different. But I know a lot of people work really hard to like establish these brands, so I think they get really precious of letting them go.
Yeah, like, well, and that's why their fans like them and like continue to come back. So it's like, it is hard to want to transition. It is scary because it doesn't always work for everybody.
Yeah.
Like I was trying to think of people who like had an amazing debut album or a sophomore album and try to do a different one for the next, and it just like didn't work out. But I can't think of literally anybody.
I think Tori Kelly's kind of a cool example of like a rebrand that kind of took her out of the public eye, and then a rebrand that I think worked really well that didn't get the attention that it should have. Is like she was really popular in like 2013, 2014 when she was working with Max Martin, and she was like releasing her debut album that was really good. It was like a great pop album. And then she kind of disappeared, started doing like gospel music because her faith is like really important to her. And that's totally fine. But it definitely got a lot less attention. And then she's kind of come back because she signed to John Bellion. And he's been like developing her new stuff. And she came back and did like a Y2K thing that I was super into.
Yeah.
But I don't think that it got the attention that it should have yet. I think maybe people will see it. But like, that is a rebrand that I think she actually did it really well. The music makes sense to me. The production's fire. The music videos all fit the vibe. And I wish that it would have gotten a little bit more attention. But I don't know. We could go on all day with rebrands and visuals and creative directing.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting topic. If you guys have any artists that you want to see rebrand or your favorite rebrands that we did not mention.
You want to see us just shit on people's creative directors for an hour.
Let us know. I'd love to hear your opinions.
All right. Other than that, I guess that's pretty much it. We've been running for a little while now, so I guess we'll end with recommendations.
Did I remember that we were doing Rex? Yes. Did I think of one? No.
Ooh, you're grounded.
I know.
I have one. If you want to go second.
Go ahead.
I'm currently about to redo my entire studio, like take it all apart and put it back together. And I'm reintroducing patch bays, which are a fucking nightmare for me. But there is a company called Trace Audio. They make a bunch of like custom cables and they make patch bay covers that you can write on. But they have a thing on their website that is a patch bay label designer, and you can select your patch bay. So I just have like the Art P48 and then the Art 16 XLR patch bay. And you can select them and you can custom make a whole template of your patch bay with colors and fonts and text. And so I made one for my quarter inch patch bay, and I made one for my XLR patch bay. They're like $25 a piece. I'm getting them shipped over. So, you know, next week when I put my studio back together and rip it apart, I can just pop that on and I can see every single insert on my patch bay. It's labeled forever. I don't have to print a bunch of little labels. I don't have to use session tape. So if you want to check that out, yeah, they're just Trace Audio. You can make your own patch bay labels. They have ones where you can just get them and then write on them if you change it out a lot. But $25 is a no-brainer when it comes to like me having a patch bay that I can just look at and be like, oh yeah, here's my mic input to my, you know, to this preamp.
Wow.
So try that out.
All right. My recommendation is going to be real left field, out of left field over here. It's going to be a waffle maker.
That is the most random shit I've ever heard.
Well, only thing I seem to recommend is food and TV shows. So now I'm recommending an appliance, which is an appliance.
What's so game changing about a waffle maker?
Well, I didn't use it. Actually, Austin used it. So, you cook all the time, you poor thing. I don't know. They were so fun. Like, I just forgot how good waffles are, I guess. Like
a thick ass homemade waffle.
Yeah, like a homemade waffle. Like, dang, they're really good. And I can't attest to how easy they were to make, but they seem
super.
You said they were easier than pancakes, and pancakes are quite easy. So
yeah, we normally every Sunday morning I like make pancakes for her, and we've had them now like 8 Sundays in a row. And we were like, oh, we should get a waffle maker, and so we got one, and they are much easier than pancakes. They make less of a mess.
Yeah.
If you get a waffle maker, though, I will say, like, don't get one of the top filled ones. Those are rated really well online where like you dump the batter in the top. We had one, fucking terrible. They just make such a mess. You can't tell if there's enough batter in. Just get a traditional $50 Cuisinart flat waffle maker where you dump the batter in, you close it and you flip it and it beeps when it's done. I swear to God, it's like the easiest $50 you'll spend in the studio. In the kitchen, actually. Unless you make waffles in your studio, I guess cook up however you like. But yeah. A waffle maker, courtesy of Miranda.
It's a good investment. I actually just saw a video of a lady putting plantains in there, making a plantain waffle. I'm like, dang, I forgot how much you can do with the waffle maker.
You can do a cornbread waffle, like a cornmeal waffle.
You could do a potato waffle.
Yeah.
Okay, like I'm making so much stuff with this waffle maker now. But anyway, that's my rec. Thank you guys for listening.
Anything else you want to say before we sign out?
Nope. Drink your water. Do a stretch.
Wear SPF,
you know. Yeah. The usual disclaimers for me.
Other than that, if you want to see more episodes of this podcast.
This podcast.
Other than that, if you want to see more episodes of this podcast, make sure that you subscribe to this channel. All of our podcast content will be on the Soundtable channel from now on. Other than that, if you want to check out anything else that we do, go check out Make Pop Music. We have a main channel that is linked in the description. And then we have a website where we have sample packs, preset packs, MIDI packs, courses, free content, updates about the podcast and everything. Just all at makepopmusic.com. So go check all of that out. That is kind of the hub for everything. But I think that is going to do it for this episode. We'll see you guys in a couple weeks. And until then, much love, peace.